Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Work takes up most of your time. That's why you should use Stamps.com to save time with your mailing and shipping and have flexibility to focus on more important things. Stamps.com can handle all your mailing and shipping needs with rates up to 88% off USPS and UPS. Add flexibility to your day with Stamps.com. Go to Stamps.com/program to sign up for a special offer. No contract, cancel anytime. That's Stamps.com/program.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
11 o'clock hour here on Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. We'll get to the trash of the day here in about 20 minutes or so. A wild one to our east in the city of St. Louis.
Snow related.
In
no, it's
St.
not
Louis.
That woman in Kansas City who jumped out of her moving vehicle.
We'll get to that later. I mean, that's
unreal video.
The video is pretty amazing. Fortunately, she's all right. And I saw some tow service donated like their services to get the car out. But yes, there was an exit ramp, and it turned out it was like a 19-year-old driving, so probably had never driven in the snow or ice before. And her car was sliding off the off ramp and was clearly going to go towards a ditch, but she opens her door and she jumps out of her car. Car continues to go in the ditch. She lands on hard ice, you know, pavement. Who knows? Another car could have been coming behind her and ran her over. Fortunately, that did not happen. Just the video is unbelievable. Like, just the only time I'm ever ditching my car at when it's moving like that
is going into a ravine
or a river. Like, yeah, like if I'm somehow my car and I'm about to roll into the Missouri River. Okay, well, and I might jump out of my car then.
Or the Grand Canyon. Fine. Before we go over the edge.
Unbelievable.
But that's also like this comes with. I think this is one of the things I don't ever think about with parenting until all of a sudden I see this and I'm like, okay, so just real quick. That's something I have to teach this living human to. I got to teach him that if you are going down an icy ramp and you lose control of the car, to stay in the car. Like, you have to stay in the car. That's like number one. There are like airbags and stuff. There are things to protect you. You don't know what happens if you jump out of the car.
She panicked.
Yeah, it was a moment.
19-year-old panic. The video is incredible.
She might never drive in the snow
again. We can laugh about it because everybody's okay. And but man. It could have been way worse. Could have been way, way worse, though, by ditching your vehicle and just letting it, you know, go down into the brush area or whatever that was. And then, thank goodness, there wasn't a car behind it. That's what I keep thinking of. It's like, you jumped out of the car, which is going to hurt anyway. But what if there was a car behind you that was also sliding, couldn't stop, and you're laying in the middle of the road? You're going to get run over. So that is not the trash of the day, but it is a wild story from the weekend. Did you guys see what's going on in Miami? You guys see somebody's done already. Someone's done with their time. Tyreek Hill, he appears to be done with the Miami Dolphins. There was a point in time in yesterday or Sunday's game, I guess now, where the Broncos and Chiefs were playing. The Dolphins were playing at the same time. The Dolphins were playing the Jets. And in that game, the Dolphins fell down. It looked like they were just going to lose at halftime. And Tyreek Hill refused to go back in the game, it sounds like. And then after the game, here's what he had to say.
This is my first time I haven't been in the playoffs, man. So, I mean, for me, like I said, man, I just got to do what's best for me and my family, dog. If that's here or if that's wherever the case may be, man, I'm finna open that door for myself, dog. As I'm opening the door, like I'm out, bro. You know, so it was great playing here, but.
You mean you thinking about leaving here?
If it is, hey.
Yes, I went out. So one time he doesn't make the playoffs and he's done with Miami. We didn't make the playoffs. I'm out. Get me out of here. I mean, just what a he's heading down the Antonio Brown path. It's unbelievable. I mean, it's ridiculous.
He said I'm out. He's still under contract.
He changed his profile picture to the Antonio Brown leaving the Bucks game, but with his head on it. Remember when Antonio Brown ripped his jersey off and quit in the middle of the game?
Dude, he changed his profile pic. Yes. He could have taken a reasonable salary, which Kansas City was offering, which was for a lot of money still, And they had offered him a deal, and it seemed like everyone had come to an agreement. And then a different wide receiver, I can't remember which wide receiver contract it was now. A different wide receiver, oh, Davante Adams. Davante Adams' deal came out, and he was like, well, no, I want that plus more. And he decided to go to be a mercenary and go to the highest bidder, even though he knew their quarterback was Tua, and he made his choice. And now he's trying to make it seem like they're the bad guy because they're not getting him the ball enough. He had a terrible year. Here's the problem, though. Tyreek will get rewarded for here, because if there's one thing I've learned about the NFL over the last 5 years and all this wide receiver movement is, there is always a team, and it's the same situation. There's always a team with a quarterback on a cheap enough-ish deal or a head coach of an offense that needs one final boost that makes the trade for what is now a lower draft pick than you always think to eat the money to put a Tyreek Hill player like on their team. It won't be Kansas City. He will be on the Commanders or something next year. He'll end up lining up with those things and landing with a different team who is a contender. And then he'll be back with the Chiefs in like the final year of his regular season deal.
He was hurt off and on this year. His numbers weren't as good. He also had, you know, backup quarterbacks playing with him for a majority of the season as well. You know, he's not a spring chicken anymore either in terms of his age in the league. So I don't know. You're right. There's always a team and somebody will say, okay, this guy is still an incredible talent. We'll deal with it. But what a headache. What a headache. He's just like that. He's done with Miami. They gave him everything he could have asked for. Everything.
I mean, they gave him all the money. They give him all the targets. They give him every opportunity to design their offense around it. I don't know what he wants out of this, but he's going to run himself
only
out of
Miami.
Only
with wide receivers, man, in the NFL. Only wide receivers are. There's not a position that's more of a pain in the ass than wide receiver. It is incredible.
Why is it just because like the nature of the job is to be selfish? Like you have to want to get the ball.
Yeah.
I'm always open. You always feel like you're open. Which version is it? Why is it constantly this? This was, and there are a lot of really good ones. We can absolutely go through a number of things. The single best move Brett Veach made as a general manager was trading away Tyreek Hill and the subsequent moves that happened as a result of it. They altered their franchise for the way better by the exact way they handle that. They got a ton of draft pick compensation. They used that draft pick compensation to get guys like Trent McDuffie and George Karloftis, which helped them win Super Bowls. They did not overpay wide receiver, and those looked dicey. And it was certainly harder in the passing game without Tyreek Hill.
Yeah.
It did not stop them from winning. They got all this extra money. So all that money didn't just get them the draft picks. It helped pay for players that are able to be here. It helps pay guys like Creed Humphrey. It helps pay guys like Joe Tooney. It was the single best move maybe he'll ever make as the Chiefs general manager, was walking on Tyreek Hill when he walked on him, which seemed like an incredibly dangerous time to walk on him because he went to Miami and immediately was like pretty much a 1,800, 2,000-yard wide receiver, 1,500-yard wide receiver. But look now, the end of this deal and it doesn't work out. I was a little surprised that he went that strong with it.
Yeah, I mean, like, for Tyreek Hill, there's got to be, you know, another player too. You were mentioning that regrets stuff, but I don't know if a player's ever regretted leaving a team more than he has. Because yeah, he got paid, and it was a little bit more money than what Kansas City was offering, not much. But his legacy has been greatly impacted. The Chiefs have won back-to-back Super Bowls since they traded you. That must suck to see from afar. And he did it for an extra, what was it, $3 million a year? Something like that, $2.5 million, which obviously is life-changing money for everybody else. But like in his contract world, was that enough to change your entire legacy?
$2-3 million a
year?
He
needs every penny. He's got like 12 kids these days. He'll probably have five more in the next year and a half.
He's going to have 37 kids by the time
he's got to keep playing. Remember, six months ago, he was talking about he was going to retire. Remember? He wasn't going to play very long. Mm-hmm. He can't. He has to keep playing.
No, I mean, I don't know that he has a choice. And if he's this mad about ending his time in Miami, that indicates to me that he doesn't want to stop playing. He wants to keep playing, and he wants to play for a team that matters. He got to one playoff run. They got their ass kicked by Kansas City. McDuffie embarrassed him. And then that was like, that was all
Shadarius
she wrote.
Sanders is going to be the head, basically going to be the quarterback of the Raiders. They're going to have Tyreek Hill, wide receiver, and they'll run that out there in Vegas and put on a complete show. It's Vegas, right? Entertainment. Just put on a show.
He tweeted on January 1st, Happy New Year, especially to the Chiefs.
Well, he was rooting for the Chiefs to lose to the Broncos.
To try to maybe get them in the postseason.
Yeah, that's what that was in reference to.
I assume so, but look, can we deny the... or
let's Happy admit, New Year?
Let's admit the one thing that is painfully obvious. Tyreek Hill regrets his decision to go to Miami instead of stay in Kansas City. I think he very clearly regrets it. And he should. Because you're right. for a few million dollars less a year, Gold, he could have been a part of something truly special. And do I think the Chiefs couldn't win without George Karlaftis and instead their offense was electric with Tyreek Hill? No, they probably could have, like, won a different way instead of the way that they won. Those things would have still been on the table and certainly viable, and they probably don't spend first-round picks on guys like Xavier Worthy or second-round picks on guys like Sky Moore, and instead spend those picks on other players that fill different holes. Brett Veach is one of the best GMs for a reason. But I think it's obvious he regrets it, and that if he could do it all over again, he'd probably stay in Kansas City and be a part of what was, you know, a dynasty here. And instead, he got to get the one Super Bowl and then left. It was weird to hear a guy like, I don't feel like in the NFL you often hear a player just be like, I'm out. See you fools later. Normally they let the team say that they're done with him. Like Aaron Rodgers won't even say he's done. I think he's secretly hoping that the Jets will just cut him and that he could just choose one other team to sign up with for a year. I mean,
we've been seeing it more lately though. Like, didn't Vontae Davis quit in the middle of a game? He like retired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did. I told Alex maybe 2 years ago, I think that there'll be a major wide receiver trade every single offseason in perpetuity in the NFL. Because the quality of NFL wide receivers in the draft is so high, but there are still teams that will go with the sure commodity because the draft pick, you're just having to pay them money now. The draft pick compensation of an elite level wide receiver actually isn't as bad as it once was to get those guys in your building. You got to pay them, but you know you're getting great wide receiver play, just got to pay the dollar amount. And then those other teams will take those draft picks and then draft wide receivers. It seems like we're in a cycle now where some big name guy is always going to be available. Like, don't be surprised if Jamar Chase's name comes up in trade stuff. I don't think they'll trade him, but some name will always get kicked around in the NFL anymore is kind of how it.
Yeah, it's obvious Tyreek Hill's not going to be a Miami Dolphin. Like, it's very obvious at this point.
Why'd you have to use Jamar Chase? You could have used literally anybody else.
He just, I don't know, he lands in he's just a great wide receiver on a...
He also lands in the trash talk category. He lands in that category.
It could be anybody. It doesn't really have to be him. It could be CeeDee Lamb. It doesn't matter. It'll be somebody.
That's a name too, yeah.
Yeah, he'll be available on the trade market, and all of a sudden he'll be a member of the Commanders. I just pinned them out because I think they
have a ton of... Well, they also have a ton of cash space,
and they probably want one more wide receiver.
The Commanders are absolutely going to add to that. I mean, the talk in D.C., they want T. Higgins is who they want.
Fine.
But I was told that Cincinnati can... Keep Burrow and pay him. Keep Higgins and pay him. Keep Chase and pay him. Oh, and also make the defense better. They'll be in the same boat again next year. They'll have a great offense and a crappy defense if that's the philosophy.
If they don't draft defense again, which they didn't do last year, then
they're picking 17th.
That doesn't. I don't think that's as big of a deal. Them picking 12th compared to 17th, it's not that big of a deal.
I mean, that's a decent swing. And they could have been picking like 8th or 9th there for a while.
Two picks from being a top 10 pick. I think there's a difference.
I will say, we had mentioned the game on Sunday and how you and I pretty much just watched it. I had it on in the background. Snow was piling down in Kansas City, and I'm like, this game does not mean anything. Trying to focus on it for more than 5 seconds. There is one thing in that game that I do think matters. The hell is wrong with Harrison Butker? And I'm sorry for all the people that are trying to be like, he'll be fine, and rest is really important for him. And I'd like to point out that they could have just given him more rest instead of rushing him back into action when they had a kicker under contract who could have continued to kick for them successfully during that time. So they valued his in-game kicking more than rest. So I have a hard time doing those things. He doesn't look right. There's some part of his kicking game that is not what it used to be. And if I made you give me a confidence meter ranking of where you are in Harrison Butker going into the postseason, I think you're lying to me if you tell me that you feel the same way about Harrison Butker you have going into every other playoffs. I'm worried about it.
Yeah, the confidence level can't be the exact same as it was 2 months ago. It just can't, based on the injury and what he's looked like since. You know, is it on the panic meter level of what I'd be feel like if I was a Ravens fan with Tucker right now based on his season? No, of course not. But it's something to watch. Yeah, it's the only thing I would really take out of Sunday's game and be like, okay, that's not like a backup thing. That's the same kicking operation that you would have in a playoff game. And it was at altitude. He missed it left. He had the distance, missed it left. Like, what's going on there? It'll be a little more nerve-wracking the first time he has a big kick in the playoffs, whether that's going to be the divisional round game or whether it's an AFC title game. But we all know throughout this three-peat campaign, and going back to the last couple of years, he's, of course, made massive kicks throughout all those games.
He's been vital to their Super Bowl last year. He might have been the single most important player outside of Patrick Mahomes to them winning the Super Bowl last year. He's an important player. But all that's it takes, why I'm though, worried.
All it takes is divisional round weekend. He kicks a 57-yarder when they need it, and I'm back. And nobody should be worried again. If he makes it, you know what I mean? Like, if he makes a 57-yarder,
he just goes three for three, and two are from 30, and one's from 57.
Yeah, but I mean, like, if it's a divisional round, he kicks a 55, 57-yard field goal, and it's just a big kick, whether it's, it doesn't be a walk-off kick, but it's just a big kick in the moment, then I'm back to, okay, he's fine. Because that's ultimately, that's all we're talking about.
Just as long as the other kicks look normal, because, like, I'm assuming what it is that it's just wear and tear on a body, and that his knee still isn't 100% from where it needs to be post that surgery. And so as a result of it, he's yanking kicks he would not typically yank as a result of still recovering from a knee surgery. Yeah. This goes back to the whole thing. I told you right after the game, I had no idea why they rushed him back. If he was incapable of doing kickoffs, in my opinion, he should not have been back on a football field kicking kicks. It didn't make any sense to me at the time.
Dave Tobe.
They should have waited a week or waited 2 weeks. Dave Tobe at the time, as you'd said, had said 2 weeks, and then all of a sudden he was back 48 hours later kicking in games.
Yeah, on a Wednesday he said, no sense. On a Wednesday he said he's a couple weeks away, and then that Sunday he was back and kicking field goals.
It's crazy.
It was kind of bizarre.
Well, and then the following press conference, he said he thought he was good enough to go, which it didn't make, it wasn't consistent with what he had said earlier in the week.
I just don't understand.
Because he said, I think if I remember right, he's not fully 100%, but we wanted him out there or something along those lines.
Like, I just think it should, like, it has to be on, like, if we're just going into the postseason, we do the normal thing. Concern list of things for the postseason. The offensive line is still on there.
Of course.
For the fairly obvious reasons. Nazi Johnson did not make me feel any more comfortable about any time he's got to be on the field in that game. And I already knew that about Nazi Johnson. That game did not change my opinion on it. He gets beat deep a lot.
That
was true before the game. That was true after the game. There are the normal things to be concerned about that have been weaknesses for the Chiefs or liabilities for the Chiefs throughout the year. For four consecutive years, for back-to-back Super Bowl championships, the one thing on, there are two things on this team you never worried about. One was Patrick Mahomes, and one was Harrison Butker. They were the only two things that never show so much as showed a single crack in the armor, right? That, none of it. And now he is showing weakness. So, like, I'm not going to ignore it because his perfection has been a key to these postseason runs occasionally. Not the single biggest reason. Still got to get down there. But, like, the idea that in these late game situations, Patrick Mahomes knew he only needed to get to the 40 yard line probably, in order to give this team a chance to tie or win on a field goal late in a game. And now I can't be sure about that until I can watch him kick more in the postseason. It moved up my concern.
Yeah, it's the only thing I took out of the Denver game. Other than that, there's nothing. You couldn't judge anybody outside of the kicking because of how vanilla the game plan was and the fact that you had backup next to backup next to backup. It was, there's no, like, even Carson Wentz, he obviously didn't look great, but I don't know, does it really matter? Like, I don't think you can judge him the way we thought we were going to be able to judge him in the game. Same thing applies, we'll talk about DJ Humphries in the Chiefs right half hour. He wasn't awful, but I don't know how I'm supposed to really judge him based off of that football game where it was the most vanilla game plan they've had all year. It was a preseason game as they were getting ready for the postseason. The Butker thing with that whole kicking operation is the only, like, real starter, true thing out of the entire game.
They're a rhythm. It's a rhythm-based thing. You remember when he hurt his ankle and then he wasn't right for like a half a season, and then come postseason time, he was fine? Text line was pointing that out. It's true. From the 816, I mean, some part of it's just a creature of habit thing.
Trash of the day.
We go to St. Louis for this one.
Okay.
St. Louis, they, of course, got the same storm that we've had.
I mean, that's how storm bands work a lot of times.
Kind of goes west to east usually. So St. Louis got hit with the storm as well. And much like here, people got stuck. You know, if they were out driving.
Did you push anybody out?
I wasn't out. I felt two people.
Right outside my house.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
One guy was, I'll just be honest, not doing a very good job getting himself out of the spot. I don't think he's ever backed out of snow before. Kept trying to drive forward. There was a curb there. He needed to back up.
So
he hit the reverse.
This was in St. Louis. This is from, I don't know, was this a CBS affiliate in St. Louis or something like that, TV station? Listen to this story. We don't have the audio from this story. I'm sorry. We'll just give you the details on the St. Louis. I thought we had audio. My bad. So in St. Louis, somebody got stuck. Someone was nice enough at the time to help them.
Okay? You know, it's always nice. You're stuck. Somebody comes with a shovel, helps you out. Okay.
A 40-year-old man's car got stuck in the snow when he was trying to enter the parking garage at his apartment complex. Then this unknown male in an SUV comes by, helps him free his car. Okay, once the man's car was unstuck, he parked it in the garage before the same person that had just helped him get out of the snow pointed a gun at him and proceeded to demand his car keys.
So he helped this man get unstuck from the snow only to try to rob him? He helped him get his car unstuck so he could steal it? That is a wild turn of events. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine, like, some nice Samaritan comes and helps you get your car unstuck, only then to be like, I'll take the keys now. Now that this car is free, give me the keys to the car. That's wild. Why'd he help him get unstuck? He could have, I mean, you can hold anybody up for their keys. I don't know why you chose to help this guy get unstuck. So what? He'd feel less worried when you were approaching him in the parking lot?
You took the keys and you didn't even take the car. When police found the car still in the parking garage at the time. Bizarre. You go through all the trouble. Plus, I'm assuming, unless you had a mask on, like, I'm assuming the person could easily identify you. Unless the person had a mask on, like, you spent some time with the person. It's not like you got him unstuck in 5 seconds. You probably spent
a ski mask the whole time?
Maybe you were. It was cold out and it would have fit. Nobody would have questioned it, you know, in this situation. Mike, I mean, unbelievable.
I would be so confused. I'm stuck. Guy helps me and I'm like, you know what? There are good people. Like, that's what you would be thinking. There are nice people in this world. People are willing to help other people, even though they got nothing else to get except for just helping other people. And then they're like, and I'll take the keys. Now you're like, excuse me? And then there's like a weapon pointing at you. Like, what the hell just happened here? I thought you were helping me. I guess I would travel with a shovel in my car for the rest of life. Does that sound about right? I'm not letting anybody else help me get unstuck for the rest of life.
Really? Now you're terrified that's going to happen to you?
No, I'm just saying, like, if I were that guy.
Oh, for
like, if I'm the person who got robbed, no one is ever helping me get my car unstuck ever again. Matter of fact, I'm probably just not leaving in the snow.
St. Louis.
And then someone did say typical St. Louis behavior.
St. Louis, what's going on?
That's just a wild turn of events. That is the least likely scenario to have happened.
You would never have thought, someone's nice enough to help you, and then they're going to rob you 5 minutes later.
What does it take for you to, will you stop your car to help someone get unstuck?
Depends on the situation. Am I on the highway?
Nah, just like a side street.
Side street?
Highway. You can't be stopping on the highway to get people unstuck. That's crazy.
Oh, people.
Unless you're stopped.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You can't do it there. In the neighborhood, if it's my neighborhood, sure. Like, if it's my neighborhood, my cul-de-sac, that's where I would do it.
Okay.
If my apartment complex. If it's my apartment complex, then sure. Yeah. People that I'm like in that area.
Okay. I didn't know.
I'm also driving a sedan, so I don't know. Like, and you're not.
You're more likely to get stuck. You should be driving people because other people.
It's not like you're driving a huge truck or something that you're like the guy that drives around and just enjoys pulling people out of the ditch or whatever.
I'm not doing that. I just if somebody gets stuck in the snow, I will help them push their car out of the snow if we're in the same spot. Sometimes for self-preservation,
right? In front of your house.
Yeah. Well, I'm not driving around looking down. That's my point.
Yeah. That's my point. So, to answer your question, yes, if it's right there.
But if I were if I were driving like 10 minutes away from my house and I saw someone stuck and it was a logical moment that I could also help, I'd probably be willing to help get someone out. I've pushed people out of the middle of an intersection in which they were stuck so that we can clear traffic.
But for your convenience, because you had to do it.
Maybe. I don't know if it's about that.
You couldn't move until you got them unstuck.
I just want to help.
So yes, in that circumstance, I would also help. If I couldn't go anywhere because that person was stuck, then I would do the same thing.
That's a good point, I guess. Again, I don't think it's about, I'll help them in the part of town doesn't matter. There is a level of convenience for me. This morning, I thought I was going to have to help someone get stuck because we've got a small hill coming out of my neighborhood. And it's an emergency snow route, so it's plowed a million times. But at the top, some of the snow gets stuck and that guy's in a front wheel sedan. And he's just spinning his wheels at the top of the hill. And I gave him 100 yards to back up so he could get a running start at it. Gold. And he just wouldn't back up. He just kept trying to spin his wheels at the top. I'm like, I refuse to push this person because they're an idiot. Back up, get a running start up the hill, and then if you get stuck, then I'll help you.
Everybody's an expert.
You just have no sympathy for people.
Winter storms happen, and everybody's an expert and knows better.
I did have to drive in winter a lot.
Mm-hmm.
When I drove for
a living. Of course.
This is where the remorse comes from. I'm not helping anybody else out if they're being dumb.
Yeah, I'll help. If you're just stuck, you're stuck. I get it, man. Life happens. But if you're not helping yourself, I also think that depending on, like, the guy I was helping out in front of my house yesterday, he was doing a poor job. And I was just like, how about you push and I get behind the wheel of this thing? Because I'm not sure which way you're trying to turn.
Again,
you're thinking about hopping in his car?
No, but again, Cody's got it all figured out. I mean, yet again.
Why is he trying to go forward?
Yet again.
Two things, and you know this too for driving in snow. Momentum is your friend.
Yeah.
And there are times in which you got to give up going up the hill and you got to go back down the hill.
I'm not even going to call it egotistical. That would have been the most embarrassing thing for that individual. If you would have said, how about this? You get out and push, and then I'll give it a go. Let me drive your car.
And then he would have stolen the car.
Yeah, right.
And he would have stolen the car, driven away.
I take the car and drive away.
Trash of the day. Don't forget, though, we've, of course, right around the corner from the playoffs wildcard weekend, and then ultimately next week's divisional round weekend, we've made some playoff t-shirts thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. So you want to be on the lookout on how to get these next week, all right? Next week, we'll have these playoff t-shirts thanks to Gates Barbecue. And don't forget to get Gates Barbecue for your tailgate or if you're watching at home this weekend. So you guys love the shirts. We got shirts next week. We'll have some playoff shirts thanks to Gates.
Can't wait.
Up next, Chiefs Red Half Hour. One thing that looks better now that the season is over. For the future of the Chiefs, we'll explain what that is.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.
Is next.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5, The Fan.
Back here on Cody and Gold, yeah, it is the Chiefs Red Half Hour. We'll talk football throughout the show, obviously, not just Chiefs, but keeping an eye on what's happening in the NFL, some coaching and general manager hirings, firings, rumors, reports that are out there. Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider from The Athletic, is going to join us at 1 o'clock today. We'll get his perspective on what he's hearing about two names in the Chiefs organization that at least have been set up for interviews, requested for interviews. Mm-hmm. Assistant general manager Mike Borgonzi with the Jets, and then Matt Nagy, at least one. Maybe there's two now, at least one team has requested an interview with him. Won't be the last. And so just if he's hearing anything about that, we know the last couple of years, the Chiefs have had a few members of their front office go to other places, Carolina, obviously Ryan Poles with the GM in Chicago now.
Ballard's been around forever now.
Yeah. So we'll get into some of that kind of stuff with Nate Taylor. But now that the season's in the rearview mirror for a lot of teams, that means they know the top picks that are not in the playoffs. They know where they're selecting. The Tennessee Titans know they have the number one overall pick. And they just announced this morning they're firing their general manager. You're like, well, why is this related to the Chiefs? Well, we all know the Chiefs traded L'Jarius Sneed to the Tennessee Titans.
For a third-round pick.
That's right. And so you and I always joke about, well, it's almost a second or whatever. Well, Cody, they almost got a second because it's a third-round pick and it's number one overall.
It is a third.
So the Chiefs could be picking back-to-back if all goes well. The Chiefs could have picked 32 in round two. And they could have pick one in round three. Thank you very much, Tennessee. Not that I wanted L'Jarius Sneed to be hurt and not play. He's obviously meant a lot to this organization, but the concern was his knee, and the Chiefs were correct. He only played in 5 games for the Tennessee Titans this year, and they gave up a third-round pick. And because they were the worst team in football, the Chiefs have a top-tier, the best, literally the best third-round pick you could ever have.
This is just a good reminder that when you're like, they got robbed! Do you remember how many people thought that the Chiefs gave away L'Jarius Sneed for too cheap? Only a third round pick? That's all you got from them? Part of trading with a team is also evaluating where you think a team is. And if you trade with a team who you think is going to be worse, that is a more valuable pick for you. And boy, did Brett Veach nail this one. The Titans stunk. Now, I can't remember. There are some rules in the NFL where hypothetically could be the second or third pick in the third round. They flip them occasionally because of like all the teams all have 3 wins. So it could be like the second pick We're the third pick in the third round. That's not important. What's important is they got a pick in the top 65 picks of the NFL draft for L'Jarius Sneed, a player who could not get on the field because, unlike the joke that was, I don't remember the reporter who said that Juju Smith-Schuster's knee was going to explode.
Albert Breer, wasn't it?
L'Jarius Sneed's mine, actually. He is not a healthy player. He has not been able to be on the field. The Chiefs knew that about him. And while he was an important player to their defense last year, they were willing to part with him, even though they are weaker in the secondary this year. Yeah. Same rule applies to Tyreek Hill. You let him go. You get a third. It's a top 65 pick. You have four picks in the top 100 now. And in addition to it, did you weaken your secondary? Sure. Are you 15-2? Yep. Are you the number one seed? Yep. Did it hurt you in the regular season? No.
Well, Sneed only played five games. I mean, his body only held up for five games. It sucks for him. Again, it's not.
He got paid a lot of money.
But he got paid a ton of money, and he hasn't done anything for the Tennessee Titans. You gave away a player. If you would have kept L'Jarius Sneed, one, it was going to require a new contract. So then we'd be sitting here
four for 76.
We'd be sitting here saying, oh, God. I mean, yeah, if you're Tennessee, you're thinking their GM got fired for a reason. But you're thinking, man, that deal, we still got three. I don't know how many years were guaranteed, okay, but three more years under that contract.
He will be a $23 million cap hit next year. You can't cut him. His dead cap is $35 million. The following year, he'll be a $21 million cap hit. You can let him go for $12 million in debt. So you can save $9 million. The following year, you can save $13. He's never seen it to 2027. He is only 27 years old. It is difficult, if you're the Chiefs, to get a fourth-round pick, make him a Pro Bowl-caliber corner for you at 27 years old. Let him go for only, at the time, a third-round pick and feel like you got a massive win. Crush this contract. Crushed this deal. Didn't pay $76 million to a 27-year-old corner who can't stay healthy. Got a third-round pick that ended up being at the top of the third round. This is going to go down as one of, we just talked about the Tyreek Hill deal. This is going to go down as one of the best deals Brett Veach has made. This ends up being a home run.
Well, and whether it's actually a pick you make there, it just gives you options. Gives you some more options with Arsenal. If you need to trade up, we all know they need a left tackle. You use that in the draft, or do you use these picks to go trade for a known commodity, a la Orlando Brown Jr. type of trade? Uh-huh. Not for him, but that type
or
of trade.
Or move up in the top 20 of the draft because you want to tackle who maybe you like, and I don't know what the tackle draft looks like. But you
we're way too early for that in Kansas City. Other cities can start talking about draft, but like
it's an asset to trade.
Yeah, it gives you some more flexibility going forward, and yeah, the trade looks incredible. Looks incredible.
I do like it from the perspective you mean, which is probably what it's the most value is. That is an excellent trade chip. Or your third-round pick becomes completely viable to get rid of. Or your second-round pick, which is the same as your third-round pick essentially now, becomes viable. Because those picks are going to be, what, two, three, four picks apart? Maybe. Right? The Chiefs win the Super Bowl might be a pick apart, two picks apart.
Yeah.
Might be back-to-back at the end of the second and the beginning of the third round. Those are valuable pieces when you're talking about a team who is at 32, trying to go to 22, trying to go to 20. I've made the argument, Gold, as you know, and we don't have to like get way down, that like one of these years, you should just go up to like 17 and take your version of Joe Alt. You should go to 15 and like just secure it. Take the risk, because you're right. You could screw it up and it sets you back and all these other things, but not the same as a team who screws up taking a tackle that high or a quarterback that high and they're going nowhere. The Chiefs still win. They would just win and have a bad tackle, which is something that they did a majority of this season.
Do you think the Super Bowl, if they three-peat, does that make it more likely, less likely, easier, harder for the Chiefs to be willing to make that kind of trade, as in trading multiple picks to move up in the first round? Because already,
I actually
you
think
say,
it makes it less likely, because at that point, don't you just say, like, let's just stockpile a bunch of young talent and plan on getting rid of all this expensive talent. We'll take four people in the top 100, and if we get three right, the league's screwed. I mean, I'd be pretty tempted if they three-peated that would be my strategy.
I think they're already heading down a path where next year there's going to be some pieces that they're just not going to be able to retain anyway. And so you're going to be in a little bit of a, I don't want to call it a reset. I still think this team's, you know, like next year, even if they get rid of some of the pieces that we'll have all offseason to talk about, financially, like, I still think a playoff team, but will they be a number one seed next year with all that? Who knows, right? I think it'll be a real conversation in the offseason. Like, it won't be the
cheaper wide receiver.
You know, we'll see. Yeah, wide receiver's that. But I look, you get the three-peat in your back pocket. You do something that's never been done in NFL history. The leeway is unbelievable amounts of leeway.
Do whatever the hell you want. I don't care.
Like, it's...
I'll just tell you right now, whatever they do, whether they traded up to 10 and took a tackle or stayed at 32 and took a defensive end, it's going to be this radio show and other things becomes a bigger challenge of tell me how we can be genuinely critical. Question whether we do a small thing different or maybe that. Okay, I mean, it's fine. But if you're out here trying to bury an organization that would have been through a three-peat, good luck.
I don't think you could bury him, Cody.
Good luck. No, you'd look stupid. You'd look stupid.
To your point, the only question I think regarding not in terms of like burying them is just the left tackle spot. Like, are you comfortable in drafting another one after drafting one in the second round and having the question there and just sticking in that? Obviously, you know, you can't, if they win another one, you can't go after them for that. But are you content with having suspect left tackle play and getting younger in other positions? Obviously, that this is a conversation for April.
No
you
doubt.
Know, but
and yeah, there'll definitely be plenty of time to discuss that. But I think it is kind of interesting, and the Snead news is really, really nice to have a much better pick than any of us thought you were in. None of us thought the Titans were going to be a strong contender, but I don't think any of us thought they'd be the worst team in football this year.
Yeah, I thought they'd compete. Drew, who do you want Cincinnati to take? Since Alex said that, you know, Chiefs fans don't need to worry about it.
Drew's already been doing mock drafts.
Who you eyeing at 17?
Drew's doing mock drafts all morning. He already ordered his best 9-8 team in NFL history shirt. All of that.
You can start mocking out who you think the 16 players are go before.
I have not looked at
drops.
A solitary mock draft. Mm-hmm. Not one since the game on Sunday. But I think that they should draft an interior defensive lineman. I think best case scenario is Kenneth Grant, Mason Graham, or Will Johnson. Who? All of them ironically play for Michigan.
All three of them do?
Mason Graham is probably
offensive line.
Defensive line. Mason Graham is not going to be there at 17. Will Johnson probably is not going to be there. He shouldn't be there. So it'll be interesting to see what
CBS Sports right now. They've got you taking Malachi Starks, the safety out of Georgia.
They need DB help.
It's too early. We have 5 more weeks till we can have our first mock draft sounder. Okay, 5 more weeks post Super Bowl.
Even if the Chiefs taking a tackle,
I don't care if the Chiefs are in it or not. We're not doing any mock drafts on this show until after the Super Bowl at the earliest. Then we can have the mock
after the draft.
Mock of the mock draft.
I will say, Chiefs fans should be paying attention to the college football playoff and tight end Tyler Warren at Penn State. Spinks guy. Potentially in the market for tight end.
Bigley loves a tight end.
Yeah, it has Colts written all over it. Anyway.
Both these mocks I'm looking at have the Rams taking him, I'm afraid. Sorry. Ooh, he's a Ram.
Done deal. That's the way it goes.
You know how accurate mock drafts are. I mean,
never. Of course, there's like hundreds of them that come out.
Meanwhile, in Kansas City, we can really focus on the path to a three-peat because we know the playoff path for Kansas City. We were talking to Vinny about the potential upsets and all that. Here's how it lays out. Most likely, the Chiefs will play the winner of the 4-5 game, which would be the Texans and the Chargers. Chargers are going to Houston this Saturday. The Texans are forever locked into the Saturday wild card spot. Forever.
The early. Do you know that they've
always
played that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they're only Saturday early wild card.
They played in 11 postseasons in their franchise history. All 11 has been the first game on the Saturday playoff slate.
Yeah, it's pretty funny how that's worked
out. They really think people do not care to watch the Texans.
So that's them. That's the most the most likely winner here in Kansas City would be that. There's also a scenario, of course, the Broncos are the 7 seed. If they were to upset Buffalo, then automatically the Broncos would be coming here. There's the other one, if the Steelers, the 6 seed, upset the Baltimore Ravens. So that's why we say most likely the winner of the 4-5 game. We know the path in... Look, I still think there's just a massive gap after Kansas City, Buffalo, and Baltimore. How can you not look at the rest of the teams that we're discussing? I think there's a gap after Kansas City and Buffalo, even to Baltimore. But I would be stunned.
Especially
if the AFC winner, I mean, this is not going out on a limb. I just truly would be stunned if the AFC winner is not Kansas City, Buffalo, or Baltimore.
Agreed.
Who else is it going to be, man?
We've been saying that since week 5, and that remains true. But there are still players... Like, I think that's what is so great about this playoff run. You only have to beat one of those two teams. That's it. One of those two. All you have to do to get to your third consecutive Super Bowl is beat one of those two teams. You don't even have to face them both. They have to get through each other and then get through you. And by the way, they have to get through a different opponent then get through right. each other, and then get to you. And I know that, yeah, neither of us are probably going to predict a Steelers or Broncos upset this weekend when we start going to predict these games later on in the week. But the truth remains the same, which is the NFL is weird, and sometimes major upsets happen because it's the NFL. And both of those teams are capable of beating the other. I put Denver in a much longer shot than I would a divisional game, in which Pittsburgh has already beaten Baltimore this season. So, like, I can't rule it out on that end. I'll just tell you, if you made me rank the four teams I want to see the most, Pittsburgh number one. You gave me any team to face in the second round.
Yeah.
Bring on the Steelers. You give me a second choice, I take the Texans. You give me the third, I take the Broncos. And fourth, I take the Chargers. The Chargers are the team I'd probably like to see the least out of those four teams. And funny enough, I think is the team they will see.
The Chargers are most likely, in my opinion as well, that we're sitting here next week talking about a divisional round game. The Chargers and Chiefs for a third time this season playing each other a second time at Arrowhead. I think that's most likely. I get why you have the Steelers one. I probably go there, but I think I could make a case that I would still put the Texans. I just think the Texans suck. I think the Texans stink. The issue, of course, they still have C.J. Stroud, who is capable of doing special things, whereas Russell Wilson is extremely limited. And in the final 2 minutes of the game the other night, they looked like they had a first-year head coach with a rookie quarterback in clock management. It was pitiful.
Yeah, it was bad.
Russell Wilson running when he, for what? For 2 yards?
Why didn't they call the timeout?
So the Steelers look terrible. So I get why you have them as the team you would like to see the most.
And I just watched the Chiefs kick their ass on Christmas, I'm sure.
Same with the Houston Texans. I kind of view them very similarly. I was hoping, honestly, I was the way things were trending, I was hoping it was going to be Steelers-Texans in the 4-5 game. That's what I was hoping. And I was hoping we were going to get Harbaugh against Harbaugh.
But all those teams had to play because they all knew the same thing we know. The Chargers had to play their game, not because they weren't locked into a spot, because they knew the same thing we knew. They didn't want to be the 6.5 to face the Ravens. Nobody was trying to go to Baltimore for the wild card round of the playoffs. The reason why I do think the Steelers have a chance, a decent shot to do it, it's really two parts. One is division games, and I've made my point very clear on the air, Gold, where I think division games are a crapshoot, and weird stuff happens, and teams who don't deserve to win all the time. It's just how divisional games work. They were like massively, I thought, outplayed by Cincinnati in that last game of the regular season. And in the fourth quarter, it was still a game. Like, that's just the way it works with the Steelers and certainly division games. The other part is Lamar Jackson historically has been a much worse quarterback in the postseason. Some people's play elevates. Some stays the same. Yeah. Some lowers. His has lowered.
Yeah, there's only two quarterbacks in the AFC playoff field that have a winning record in the postseason. Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes.
God.
Josh Allen's 500, if you're wondering.
I was about to say, he's got to be close, right?
The only quarterbacks above 500 in the AFC.
Russell Wilson.
There's a couple rookies, or a rookie. A rookie.
A second-year quarterback and C.J. Stroud, yeah. Who's...
1-1.
1-1.
1-1, yeah. So, it just... And Russell Wilson's not, you know, a lot of that is, of course, his time in Seattle. All that's his time, I should say. In Seattle.
I like that number is staying hyper above 500 because they just stopped going to the playoffs. Like, he couldn't hurt his number because they just straight up stopped going to them for a while. Like, he spent like the last 5 years probably not going to a postseason game, right?
I do think Denver can keep it closer than people maybe think against Buffalo because Surtain just shuts down.
Like,
Patrick Surtain the second is the real deal. And they don't have a true number one there in Buffalo.
Nope.
Amari Cooper has not been all that great since he came over.
He's been hurt.
Keon Coleman's been a lot better down the stretch. Josh Allen is the key of everything there, right? And what do they do when he wants to take off and run? But I think they could keep it interesting. I don't know if Bo Nix offensively can they do enough against the Bills defense. But I don't think the Bills are winning by 13 points. Like, I don't know what the spread is. I think it's 8.5, 7.5, something like that. Right now, if I had to, I would lean towards taking Denver to cover the spread. Pittsburgh's a 9.5 point dog in their game against Baltimore. I would lean towards taking Pittsburgh to cover in that one. Big difference between thinking they can win outright and cover, though.
Denver's problem is a lot of other teams' problem, which is they're so good. I think they have the best offensive line in football. I don't think I have a top five defensive line in football. And no matter the rest of your team makeup, that will make you a formidable team who can certainly win almost any game. Their problem is a lot of teams' problem, which is if they get down 10-0, done.
Yeah.
All she wrote, that game's way the hell over. They can't afford to play from behind. Some teams can, the Bills can, the Chiefs can, the Ravens can. Some of these teams can afford it. If Bo Nix gets down 10 points in Buffalo in a playoff game, it's over. We don't have to watch any more of that football game. We can wash our hands of it. And the same thing would happen is if they did upset them. It is hard sometimes to, like, I don't think it's going to happen. The smell test of rookie Bo Nix going to Buffalo to beat Josh Allen, who historically has been the opposite of Lamar. He's actually, his team hasn't won enough.
He's been great.
But, like, yeah. He plays incredible come postseason time. Yeah. And so, I don't know, man. I just have a hard time. I looked it up, by the way. Russell Wilson's 9-7. So if he loses this one, 9-8.
Mm-hmm. Spread in that game, by the
way. Barreling towards.
Spread in the Broncos game, 8.5, and then Steelers-Ravens is 9.5.
Yeah. So right now, early in the week.
I lean towards betting that Steelers. I can't believe that's a bigger spread.
Early in the week, I would lean towards taking the team getting points in both of those right now, without knowing some injury stuff as the week progresses. The Bo Nix angle, you brought up the rookie stuff. It's tough. I mean, C.J. Stroud was one of the few 11, 12 quarterbacks that have ever won their first game in the postseason as a rookie quarterback. And so is he in that company? Can he do that? We'll find out. I think it'll be close. I'll tell you this. The Broncos are confident. That's the one thing the game did on Sunday for them, even if it was the Chiefs backups. The Broncos are a confident bunch. They think they're great. You know, they think they're great. Bo Nix was perfect.
38-0. Is that what the final score was?
They think, I don't even remember. It was the Chiefs did not score.
I think it was, but I couldn't tell you for sure.
It was in fact 38-0.
They
got confidence going in there, you know? They got confidence in there. I think it'll be closer. I think they'll give them a little run for their money. Bills ultimately win, but I'm expecting that to be a much tighter game than on, you know, quote unquote on paper.
Maybe. I mean, and again, but you and I, it's like to cover the points, yes, but you and I would probably, as we went through and looked at this later, we would probably both end up ranking that as the least likely upset of the entire weekend. Like, if you ranked that every single matchup and you said most likely to least likely, let's just say point spread upset, not even seeding upset, just point spread upset, you'd probably put that one in. Like, as far as, like, money line winner, you'd probably put that one at the lowest, right? Those are the two highest spreads of the weekend, I'm assuming?
Yes, those are the two highest ones, at least according to FanDuel.
The NFC side is way more.
We'll have a lot closer with the NFC
side is great. Oh, man.
I think you could predict almost any of the teams to win, and I wouldn't call you crazy. I'd be like, okay.
I'm with you.
Is Jalen Hurts going to play?
I think he'll ultimately
play. He's in concussion protocols of yesterday, right?
Still in protocol, yeah. I think the NFC side's incredible for this opening round.
Yeah, I'll be paying a lot more attention to
I'll tell you, I like my Rams.
The Rams are dogs right now.
I know, I like them against Kevin O'Connell's Vikings.
You've been on the Rams all year. You're holding firm.
Yeah, I'm sticking with them.
Boy, we obviously would have probably talked more about that game individually had we done the show yesterday, but because of weather, we were gone. Sam Darnold turned into a pumpkin real fast in that game.
He saw a ghost again. Wasn't that him or was that Zach Wilson that saw a ghost? Either one. One, it was a Jets quarterback that said they saw a ghost. I think it was Darnold. He was seeing ghosts. Again, his happy feet, all of it.
That was just the worst I've seen him look. That's all. It wasn't good. That was tough. That was tough to watch. And their defense kept him in that game for way longer than they had any business being.
They kept settling for field goals, or they were going for it, and they just couldn't get over the hump. And now the Lions get the huge reward. Now they're fine because they get the bye. If they didn't get the bye, I'd be predicting the Rams to beat the Lions, by the way. That matchup's not going to happen now, unless it happens later on in the postseason. There's a chance that the Vikings and Lions also can
be playing each other. The Vikings will be stuck in no man land. A 14-win team with a quarterback on an expiring contract with a rookie you drafted in the first round last year. What the hell do you do? The Vikings are in a tough spot. They could franchise tag and buy one more year. They could just start J.J. McCarthy. They could offer Darnold an extension and trade McCarthy. They got all kinds of different decisions, but it's going
to
be tough.
Up next, we'll get to what's trending here on Cody and Golden. Back into the latest rumors and reports out there on the coaching front, including a couple of Chiefs personnel that are getting some interviews.